Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast of The Secret is Prayer. Today's episode is called Truth and Freedom. Lauren, do you want to get started?
Yes, Father God, we gather here today under your care and protection. Thank you for your loving kindness that never fails us. We thank you for those with us that you would guide our thoughts and actions to bring you glory. Strengthen us and fill us with your peace. May we love and serve each other as Jesus has shown us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit to do your good work on earth. Amen.
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 Okay, so today we're doing truth and freedom. And we're in John, and we're going to start with an adulteress forgiven, chapter 8. So we've talked about the story already several times, I think. So I'm just going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to jump around the way we always do. At dawn, he went to the temple again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. "Teacher," they said to him, "this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They asked us to trap him in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her." So here, you know, the woman gets caught in adultery, and then two, it sounds like they set her up to get caught in the act of adultery. And then and we talked about the story where we're all adulterous. We are all an adulteress, right? We have all committed adultery. And I think one way to think of it too is that, you know, it's not just cheating on your husband or your wife. I think that we, you know, in one way or another have betrayed God, you know, and that we all sell different parts of ourselves in one way or another is one way to look at it, you know. So here, you know, he says, whoever, the one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her. And last time we talked about how we don't always see our own sin, you know, but we're ready to throw a stone at somebody else, you know, we're ready to accuse somebody else. And after he makes that statement, you know, they all start to leave. None of them throw the stone. And last week when we were talking about how he speaks to people and how they would just, how he spoke with such, you know, very firm and with such truth that nobody really said anything to him. And I think how here too, that they didn't really, you know, they brought the adulteress to him, but then when he tells them which one of you, you know, is going to throw the first stone, they don't say anything and they all walk away. But that I think shows how when he was speaking to them, how the truth, you know, was very bold and enough to where it made them ask themselves, "Hey, wait a minute, what, he might have something on me," and they all just turn around and leave. And I think for us it's the same way, one way or the other. He confronts us with the truth, you know, and
it's hard to hear the
conviction, right?
Conviction, right? And it, as much as you want to say that you don't, or you know, "No, I never, you know, feel that way," or "I'm forgiven," or "I'm this and that," or whatever. I think until you've given full repentance that he, you know, you're that truth haunts you, you know, and you hear it one way or the other. He makes sure that it gets to you, you know, we have a choice there. Right. And I think that's very important too in a marriage, you know, because when you talk about forgiveness after, especially after the ultimate betrayal, you know, with that, between a husband and a wife, that before you, you know, you, you end that marriage and before you just, you know, say that that's it, after it, be tried to really to read this and to meditate on this scripture, because it's, you know, we have all been there. And before, I would have never thought of myself as an adulteress, but after reading this, it's true. I have betrayed my God, you know, and that's the biggest betrayal. That's the ultimate betrayal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's a great opener for the rest of the chapter, because here we have this woman that's an adulteress, right? And then, so Jesus tells her, nobody condemns her. And so Jesus tells her, neither will I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he tells her, go, but do not sin anymore. Okay. So we're going to hang on to that, and we're going to keep reading. The light of the world. Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisee said to him, you are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid. You know, here, the light, when we, it's the light of the world, right? And so I think that people don't realize, because in this chapter, they are rejecting him over and over and over. And the Pharisees, I think one thing to keep in mind here is that the Pharisees, they know the Old Testament. They memorize the Old Testament. You know, they know the law, they know the rules, and they don't obey them. And if anybody should recognize God, it should be them, you know? But they didn't, because they didn't know God. And we're gonna learn that here in these, as we keep reading. But, you know, when they keep rejecting him over and over. And I think, you know, one of the things here where it says the light of the world, Jesus is saying, I'm the light of the world. When we reject him, and he's, because he is the light of the world, we are embracing darkness. And I don't think we realize that when you're rejecting him, you're embracing the opposite. You're embracing darkness. So I'll keep reading. Jesus predicts his departure. Then he said to them again, I am going away. You will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews said again, he won't kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. You are from below, he told them. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. In this chapter, Jesus says, I am, three times. And that right there should have told them that he, you know, that right there should have told him, that should have been like a big, you know, hey, he's saying I am, because those are the same words that he said in, you know, in the burning bush. And they don't even, you know, like they don't even, it doesn't even click to them, you know. And I thought, you know, because we talked about too, would we recognize him if we saw him? And here he says, I am, three times when he's talking to them. And they're not, like, it's not even clicking, you know. And I'm like, of all the questions that they could have asked him, you know, like of anything, they could have asked him like all these other questions about anything. Questions. Yeah, more important questions. And they're just like, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know, like if they're not even.
Well, they were already reacting. It's like when you get into an argument, right? You already have it in your mind that you're going to argue about something, and it's not going to be, and they can be giving you all these clues and about the, you know.
Well, it's like when you don't negotiate with the enemy, right? Yeah. You know, and we say that over and over, you don't negotiate with the enemy because it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And here, as we keep reading, he tells them, you are, you know, your father is the father of lies. And that's in the same thing when we say that, you know, when someone is lost and they're under the influence of the enemy, mm-hmm. there's no sense in arguing with them, because you're arguing with the enemy, and you're not gonna win, it's just like this conversation here where Jesus is telling them the truth and they don't want to hear it. They do not want to hear it, and they're going in circles, you know.
And then that's an important lesson there, is that he stays quiet. So he has he says very little words and then stays quiet because he's like writing on the ground, right? So it's like talking. That's why they say it's like, you know, it's better sometimes just to stay silent. Say what you need to say, you know, whatever is right, and then stay silent.
Right.
You know,
don't say that. Say the truth. Right. You know, yeah. Say it firmly but kind.
Right.
And leave it at that. You know, don't argue and don't negotiate because you're not gonna.
Because even though and even if we feel defeated, we still got a victory there by standing
right firm by standing firm for the truth. Yes.
To speak in because or seep in. Sorry, to seep in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't have to defend. That was one that helped me a lot. I don't have to defend the scripture. I don't have to defend the Bible. You know, use scripture, but you don't have to defend it. You don't have to. You know, Jesus says, and that's why I say read John first, because it's one of the greatest lessons on how to speak to someone who's lost, you know, and who's not seen Jesus. So, okay, I will keep reading.
Okay.
Truth and freedom. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You know, and we've heard that the truth will set you free. When you're living in sin, when you and I think it's very important to acknowledge that we are all there, because nobody's perfect. Just, you know, only God is perfect. So, and we're all pretty, you know, the world that we live in now, we're all pretty far gone. Even if you go to church every Sunday and all of that, and we've said that over and over and again, like we said about the adulteress, like we're past that, you know, we're a lot like these Pharisees, whether we want to believe it or not.
Whether we like it or not, right.
Whether we like it or not, right. And so when you're living in sin, you're in bondage, you know, you're in bondage and you're a slave to that sin. You're a slave to that sin. And I think what we don't realize is that when we walk away from God, then we're accepting, you know, like I said earlier, darkness. Then when you walk away from God, you're giving up peace. You're giving up joy. You're giving up the light. You know, you're giving up love. You're giving up truth and eternal life. So with that gone, what you have left is betrayal, lies, darkness, hate, you know, your needs chaos. Not being met, chaos, conflict. Mm-hmm. Then you're embracing that, you're choosing that world, you know.
Yeah.
So whenever
isolating yourself,
right
in that world, you know, in that darkness, that's what you're gonna get. You're because God is everything good. God is peace, joy, light, you know, eternal life and truth. So,
right.
And one way or another, it's, you know, we're going to bow to God. We're going to bow to him. And as we've said, it's not if, it's when. And we've said too, that it's not, you know, it's either you come to him humbly
on your own, or he can.
Or in brokenness, right. You know,
right.
So, but it's our responsibility to return to him.
Right. Because we have free will.
Right. Because we have free will. So it's our responsibility to return to him. So he's there, but will we return to him?
And the one thing we have to remember too, is we can't do this on our own. We can't fight the darkness on our own. We can't fight
we're
attacked is our mind. And our mind, if you think if we really think about our mind, is what it's in our brain. It's dark, there's no light.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, we fall into this pit. Mm-hmm. And the only way to climb out of it is with God, with Jesus. We can't do it on our own.
And some of the symptoms of that is depression, anxiety, right?
Fear.
Yes.
Fear.
Yep.
Yes.
Here. And so, and you, and I, too, it's, we're so deep in there that we're more afraid of that darkness you know, because you're living in fear and a paranoid panic, and we're more afraid of that darkness than we are of God, you know?
That's so true.
That not knowing what God can do for us, and that, right. You know, the enemy has us in that darkness, and we're more afraid of him, right. And his lies and what he will do, yeah. Than we are of God. You know, when God is calling us to help us, to save us, but we're stuck in this, in that cycle that we stay there, you know, we stay there. And I think that if we can, you know, find the courage, pray for that courage,
yeah.
That little by, you know, one step at a time, we can come out of that.
You know, I keep thinking, I just thought, it took me back what you say, like we're afraid of the dark. It takes me back to, we have to think when we're kids, and I can remember being asleep and being scared of the dark. And what do? I cover my head with a blanket thinking,
right.
It's going to protect me, you know, and it's just keeping me in the dark instead of allowing
that light. Yeah. That like light. Going, instead yeah. of going to the light, right.
Right.
Instead of going
right.
to the light. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was hearing this podcast and they were talking about somebody who's in darkness. What's in front of them, they're looking at what's in front of them, which is chaos. And, you know, so they're so scared when if they just turned back and there's Jesus, there's God behind you. If you just turn around and go that way instead of what
right,
you're looking
yeah.
at. But when you're in it, it's so scary.
Well, that, you know, yeah, that too is
right.
We're you're, so deep it, in it,
it takes
that
a
we
hold
don't
of your yeah. emotions. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we can pretend that God doesn't exist. We can, you know, we can pretend he's not there, but he is. But he is. And at some point we have to come to that realization. And I think, you know, it can either be now, start where you are now, you know, or you continue, you know, your next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years in that darkness, in the, you know, all those negative things and living in a paranoid panic, because that's what the world is right now. It's a paranoid panic.
Trying to survive.
You know, yeah, because you have all these things coming at you. I mean, you can't turn on the news without seeing something crazy happening, and we're all living in that great fear. And so you have to choose what master are you going to believe and serve, you know, and you have to make that choice.
Because and at one point, you're going to call out to God, just like all of us.
Right.
Did at
right.
one point or another.
Yeah. Is it going to be now and you enjoy the rest of your life and you have that peace and all those good things? Mm-hmm. Or is it going to be in your deathbed or, you know, when you have nothing left,
you, have
you
nothing
know,
left.
To live for and, yeah. and then what, you know?
Yeah. Because yeah. I think, you know, they say too, the enemy causes chaos, confusion, and we have clarity and we have, God will always show the facts or like
right.
confirmation, you know? So that's one thing we have to do. You want to live in question after question after question, or just have confirmation and have peace with that and move on. Like, you know, that's how I think.
Well, the truth is like, do you want the truth or do you want to continue and
the
lies and doubt, you know, like right. who's lying to me and who's not, because you're only going to get the truth from God. And,
and that's something to remember. You're only going to get the truth from God.
Right? Yes.
No one
Sometimes
else.
You don't
no
want
one
the
else.
Truth, but.
Well, you don't know what the truth really the truth. Is and that it, how much it means until you know God and you read scripture.
Right.
You know, because once you know his truth, it's not going to matter what anybody else says. You know, it's not going to matter. You're going to be able to discern what everybody else is telling you. And the only thing that's going to matter is what God is telling you, and that truth.
Right.
Because I thought I knew the truth, you know, and until I started reading scripture, like that's
well,
a
I
whole
think
other truth.
The truth that we think we know, it's what society says is true, or the world
yes.
says it's
yes.
true.
Yes,
and,
that's
and
exactly
that's
what that is.
And which ended up being a huge lie and deception.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's in that podcast. They talked about that, like for the society plays a big role in showing you what the truth is, and where like everybody fights for or a husband who's an alcoholic or a husband who's on drugs, that something you can actually see is taken a little bit more serious when it comes to marriage, when a marriage falls apart, than one that has that has adultery, right? Or has a prodigal who's just lost, or who's, you know, lost in depression. That's not paid too much attention as the other wow. ones are. So, and that's like changing your mindset, you know, like we did in society's eyes, you know, we're crazy for doing this. But the truth is, this is the right way.
But right, just, it's the complete opposite.
So right. Know. And, you know, it's funny that you said, because I was listening to Tony yesterday, and he did say, you know, when you'll know when you're obeying God, and this is something, Lorena, that you've told me too, like when you know when you're in the will of God is when it doesn't make sense. And when you don't understand, and when you want it, the one thing you want to do is what? Flee from this,
yeah,
from where you're at right now. But that's exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yep.
Because right. remember, his ways are higher than our ways, and
yeah, and he's in control.
His thoughts are way higher than yeah. our thoughts. And so I thought, man, that's such a great thing that I, you know, have to remember is, am I where I'm supposed to be? Because I think I would ask you that a lot of times.
Yeah.
Throughout
yes.
this are last you? Year. Are you sure? But yeah, where, when you question, is this the right? You are at the right.
Yeah. Cause it seems path. Like the complete, yeah. like it seems so
against like, the norms.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Against the norm. That's a good way like, mm-hmm. to look at it. It's against the norm that you question it, but, and because we're so used to, we're built to live in the society that's out there now, you know, and what they're telling us and what we've yeah. learned and all that. So you're going like completely against that, against society. And, right. and it's very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know, and it can, it seems scary, but when you're close to God, he's there, you know, he's there, and he comforts you and he guides you through it. And it's a completely different experience than when you're doing something, you know, that society says, and that you don't feel that guilt and that shame, you know. And this is like when you're building that endurance and the your trust and your faith, it, like it's a completely different experience.
And he'll give you what I just thought about too.
Yeah, that the ones that you question when you don't, like we question, is this where I need to be? Is this the right place? But when those that fall off the wagon and go into adultery or go into drugs, they don't question it. You know what I'm saying? It comes
easy. Oh, that's true.
So that's a way it comes easy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They never question, God, should I really drink that, you know, beer? Should I really take those drugs? Or should I really, you know, go have lunch with this guy? You know, God, show me, you know, you don't question.
Yeah,
that.
You, that's true. You know? That's true. That's so easy.
When you know discernment and you know right from wrong and you're following God, you're questioning everything like, okay, God, this doesn't seem right. You know, is this the way?
Is this where I'm supposed to be? Yeah. And he'll come back and he'll tell you, yes, you need to stay here, or you're right where you're supposed to be. And I am in control. Trust me. Don't be afraid, you know, is when he gives you all of those scriptures. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can get there is by getting to know him through scripture. And that's why, like these Pharisees, you know, and they're supposed to know all of that already, because in the Old Testament is where you get to really know God, and they're supposed to know all of that, and they don't, you know.
But you know,
they
what don't... I wonder, like for me, I wouldn't have turned to his word or started reading scripture until he broke me, until he called me, until, you know, he said,
I think that's all.
You bet it's time. Mm-hmm. So like these Pharisees, they're reading scripture. They memorize it, but truly they could memorize it, but maybe they weren't in that place because their veil was not lifted.
Yeah. Right, because they were so deep in sin because, and that's like us, we're so right. deep in sin, and it's not until we're in that brokenness. But
right.
And that's why for them too, because remember, he did all that with Moses and Egypt and all of that. Right. And then they got away from that. You know, so they fell back in their right. ways. And that's like us now. We're so deep in sin. And until we, you know, Jesus is in our hearts. Yeah, until he breaks us, then.
And that's where the enemy wants to keep you, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
And you know what?
Let me keep us in that happy place so you don't question anything.
And let me,
exactly.
Let me read here to where it says, Jesus responded, truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And then he, you know, he'll go on and say, you are, because they don't believe him. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. And, you know, there is where we really learn Satan's, you know, characteristics. You know, that's when we learn more about him. And Satan wants to keep you.
I'm sorry, I missed. Did I miss it? When do we know?
What I just
I missed. No, I know, but what? Go ahead. It's like it's
so well, that in scripture, that's where the scripture where you learn the most about Satan, his ways. That he is the father of lies. That he was a murderer from the beginning, and that that's you know that's something that you need to really.
Understand.
Remember, understand, because that is what we're facing now, you know, and he is, you know,
he wants to divide, he wants to steal, you know, whether he's stealing our children from us, our spouses, you know, from us. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything.
He wants to destroy everything, everything and anything that is good, you know, that God.
Go ahead.
Well,
the interesting thing is that these were, and for everybody to realize that these were Pharisees, like priests, why are you laughing? Like priests, right? And pastors. So you need to, if you're seeking help and you go to a pastor, if you feel like a conviction in your heart, in your heart that God is telling you, like for instance, in a marriage to stand, right? And you go to a priest, or a pastor, I'm not just picking on priests, or a pastor, and you're questioning because you're seeking guidance. If they tell you something, say you want, you're asking him, should I stay in my marriage, or, you know, and so forth, and they say, well, you know, they really seem like they don't want commitment or something. And they're kind of like pushing you towards divorce or in that area, like it's over, there's no hope or whatever. And this is a priest or a pastor that's telling you this. Question it. Don't go. If you feel it in your heart that God has placed something in your heart that's different from when they're telling you, don't feel bad because they're a priest or a pastor. You know, question it. Go back to the Bible. Go back to praying. Go see another priest. Go see, tell God to ask God to send you somebody, because in your heart, you're getting something else from what these people are telling you. And just because they have that title does not necessarily mean that they're coming from God.
Right. Because look at the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. And I think that's in scripture for that reason, because we're not supposed to trust anybody but him. So I would say, you know, go to God first before, like you said, to either send you somebody or, you know, go to him directly until he guides you and gives you, you know, and answers you, because the enemy, his power is to try, he's going to use his power to try and keep you a prisoner of sin and of grief and of sorrow and death, you know, all those things that sin brings. That's his power over you. But God, he's given us the victory or authorization over his power. So he can only keep you there if you let him, you know, the choice is yours, because you already have that victory, you know, God, through God. And with Jesus, that's your walk. That's your walk out of there. That's your way out of that. But it's only what we allow him to have power over that will keep us there. You know, the choice is yours. You have to make it. It is yours. Nobody can make it for you, you know? And you know, I heard something, and I don't know if this was in the one that you sent me, Ibera, or another one, because I heard several sermons this week, that we can't get to restoration without the shedding, without the bloodshed. That first comes unity, and then comes bloodshed. Because all through the Bible, before restoration, because all through the Bible, there was always, you know, there was this, always a sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins.
Right.
And so until where, you know, first comes unity and then bloodshed. And I think that's so true, because we saw that, like, first there's unity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then there's the bloodshed. That does, you know, there's still, you still continue that walk. So it's not like that, that, you know, I think God brings you to him first. And then there's that walk through
the valley,
that journey through the valley. Right.
So the bloodshed is the valley. Is that what you're?
Yes. Yes. To? Yes. Well, we have to carry true. Our cross, right? Well, there has to be that.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Well, he's got you to look at him. Once you're looking at him, then it's like, okay, let me show
you. And because we need him, it's that cleansing, right? It's that cleansing and that sanctification. And it's not easy, but it's where he's cleansing us of our sins so that we don't have that. So that it's not weighing us anymore. Now that, and then the enemy doesn't have that over us anymore, because he's the one that keeps bringing that up. And, you know, we have to make the choice to not believe him and believe the truth, which is God.
Well, and the enemy uses, like, the enemy has all this stuff on you. And at first he's like your friend, giving you everything, everything's coming easy. But then when you want to leave or get out of it, that's when he starts showing you, or look what I got on you, you know,
mm-hmm.
and go, you know, we talked about that, you know, and that goes with all these people that hold stuff on you when you want to get out of something, you know,
mm-hmm.
like your friends or your family, or if you're in a, you know, wrong relationship, you know, they're fine and whatever, but then you want to leave, you realize this isn't good. And then they start showing, you know, making you feel guilty and showing you all the stuff. So they have right. it too. God has it and they have it, you know? Then God says, come over here. I'll show you it, but I'll walk through it with you, you know? He's saying, no, you know, I'll show it to you, but you got to stay in it. Does that make sense?
No. Yeah. Yep. It does. It does. And you know, and God's the enemy doesn't want us to have God's grace, because he couldn't have it, you know, and right. so he doesn't want you to have it. So because he knows his what he has coming. So we have to, you know, whenever he's, you know, you feel that the enemy's coming at you, then I think that's a good reminder, is that, you know what, he's doing this because he knows what he has coming, and it's not what I have coming, you know, because I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven and I will have eternal life, you know, and he doesn't. So if remembering that, I think that'll give you the confidence to face him, because we have to face him.
Right.
We have to stand up for him and stand firm, you know?
Yeah. And actually that's not for me, I guess. It wasn't so much facing him, because he kind of, like, we, you know how we talked about, he woos you, is that the right word, gets you to have that relationship with you first, feel comfortable, like a good friend, you know, become your friend. But then that good friend's going to show you, well, you know, you kind of do this a lot, or, you know, maybe
you're talking about God, or you're talking about the enemy.
No, the God.
Oh, I was talking about the enemy. I was like, the enemy's gonna, well, he does woo you, you know.
Well, they both do, but God is the one that you gotta, you know. Oh, no, we were talking about that, at least for me, it's it was not so much facing God, but once you become, we have a relationship with him, is facing.
Oh, yes, yes, facing your consequences, right. And yeah, you know, getting me, right with God, yeah. and coming clean, you know, because yeah. until you're able to come clean and really, it does feel like a cleansing. It feels like a release. Like, hey, I already gave it all to God, and he, you know, he's forgiven me for it. You're, and you know, when you're there, because it's a huge difference from where you've been, you know, to where before, if you were saying, well, I confess my sins and I'm forgiven and all that. No, when you're, you know, reborn, it's different. It's completely different. And you do feel the weight of that, or that burden of those sins lifted, you know, I and that you are reborn. Yeah. So, because I thought I was forgiven. Right. And it's that cleansing. And then you know,
just going into the confession room, nothing against the Catholic. We're all Catholic here, but you go and they tell you to do, you know, these Hail Marys, Our Fathers, and you're there and you're doing it. And we've all done it, but it's such a different, like you said, the weight is lifted off when you do it this way. You know, I mean,
right.
You go back to God and repent.
And you bury yourself in scripture. Yeah. You have to. You have to bury yourself in scripture. And when you know you have that relationship with God, you're going to know it. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to question it, because you're going to know you're there.
And going through the fire and going through all that, it is difficult because we've gone through it. It's hard, you know, but he's with you and you come out of there, you know, victorious. With such, yes. And just the burden is lifted, you know. You don't want to face some of that stuff, because some of the stuff that he shows you, and he's still showing, you know, that's going to be a thing for the rest, because we're still living life and we're going to be doing some stuff that maybe we shouldn't, not on intentionally, hopefully, but, you know, he's going to keep showing us. I have to throw that in there. It's not like, you know, you're saved and now you can do whatever you want. No,
but you don't. I think once you're reborn, you know, and you're in that relationship with God and you know that you're forgiven, then you're not going to want to lose that. You know, that's something you're not going to want to let go of. And now you have that fear of God, but that good fear of God, where you don't want to disappoint him, you know, and you know what's right and what's wrong, and you're willing to do what's right, to where before you were willing to compromise, you know.
Yep.
So I think that covers most of our chapter 8, because I think it was good to see too that Jesus is telling them the truth over and over, and they're not hearing it. You know, they're not hearing it. They're rejecting it. They're going around it, and that's where we are now. So you have to question.
That's all I was going to say, but that was us too.
That was us too.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we don't want to hear it. Well, we thought we were living in the truth. We thought we were doing things the right way, but we were doing the total opposite.
Right. And so if you read scripture, if you think that, well, no, I'm good. I read the Bible. And I say, if you can't see yourself as these Pharisees, then no, you're not there yet.
Yeah, keep reading.
Then you're not there yet. Keep That's reading. True. Read it again keep and reading. Read it again until you can see yourself.
Yes.
As the Pharisees, as the
or adulterers, ask God to show
as
you.
Ask God to open your eyes, say, wait, well, I'm not feeling that yet, God, you know, show me, because I don't see myself as them yet. Because once you see yourself as them, then
and that's
I think
true.
You're getting somewhere.
Because I think, like, in the beginning of my journey, I can remember you telling me, Lorena, like, when you read and you go through scripture, like, it was hard for you because you felt that, like, that was you, your convictions. And I didn't get that yet, but I can say now reading it, I could feel that, you know,
right.
I can feel it, like, oh man, that was me. That was me. So yeah, if you're not feeling it, dig a little deeper.
Keep going.
There's nothing wrong with you. It's the process. You have to go through it one day at a time. You know, it is a lot, and it's not going to happen overnight. And we have to remember God is good. The enemy is not. And truth, we can only get it through God. And surrendering, I think, is the first start where we will start stepping out of that darkness, you know?
Yeah.
And when very good prayer in scripture is Psalm 51, right, Yvette, that you're going to close us off with?
Yes. I chose the verses 10 through 13. God create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways and sinners will return to you. Amen.
Amen. That's a good one to end this podcast with. And thank you everyone for joining the Secret is Prayer podcast. We'll see you next week.